We are joined live by our 98Q sports reporter, Mike Clemens, this morning. Mike, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, we mourn the loss today, of course, of a legend, Mr. Bob Uecker, and I really wanted to take time this morning to not only recognize that, but also talk about some of the things that you, your relationship and some of the things you remember about being around the Brewers and all the Wisconsin sports, and I'm sure being around Mr. Uecker a little bit, too.
You know, and I would think about it every time I saw him. And I mean, that guy was a star. And so, in a way, you know, it's not like you went up and said, "Hey, Bob, how are you today?" You didn't have that kind of relationship with him, and it was old school star. Also, he's a player, and players don't come up to you and say, "Hi, Mike, how are you today?" They don't do that. Players learn early on is that you make people come to you. Mm-hmm. Even if you're like, you know, the quarterback or the star pitcher of a team, or you're Ryan Braun and there's some, you know, young kid come in there, maybe you might go up and say hello to them, but for the most part, you wait for them to come to you. That's just the way things
work. Yeah, so kind of that, I mean, I sense that too, because I was been in the Brewer locker room a few times, not many, but, and from talking with people, it's kind of like what you said. He had kind of that personal relationship with the players because he was a player, but as far as like fellow media and stuff like that, it was a little more professional, I guess you could say. Is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, and he wasn't arrogant. He was not arrogant. It's just that when Bob wanted to, you know, mingle with the rest of the group, then he picked and chose his moments and whatever, and then he might come over and say hi. But, you know, Bob Uecker, you know, his routine all those years, get up, get in the boat, get on Lake Michigan, go and fish, and come home, you know, change, shower, maybe do some prep, get to the ballpark, take the vet and drive from the house in Menominee Falls down to the ballpark, pull into the loading dock about 3 o'clock, go in there, and then hang out in the clubhouse with the guys and BS and tell stories. He'd go in the equipment room or the office, the locker clubhouse manager, and he was friends with that guy. So you would be in there trying to get, you know, tape, you know, features before the game, and then after the game, the players, they'll talk for 5 minutes about the game they just played. Then they want to get home, so they let you in before games to do some interviews. And Bob would just be in there telling stories. One day, that was Prince's clubhouse for about 7-8 years. Okay,
oh, really?
He was
really?
The man. He was the guy. So Bob is in that little office talking to the equipment guy, and then there's like 7 or 8 other dudes hanging around, and Bob's telling stories, and they are laughing and cackling. Meanwhile, Prince Fielder, it's an hour before first pitch, and he's in there with 2 or 3 other players, and they're watching tape, and they're trying to study the pitcher and getting ready. And so finally, Prince gets upset, disgusted. So he walks across the clubhouse, dips his head into the offices. "Hey, would you all quiet down in there?" And, you know, Bob looks up like, oh my God, you know. And so Prince goes back to his meeting with 2 or 3 players, and one at a time, these guys just kind of slither out. Oh God, you know, we don't want to interrupt the players. And Bob's like, "Yeah, okay, party's over." And, you know, they walked out. But that's the way the relationship was in there. And then he'd go up there and do the game. Fast forward to the last couple of years, and you know, you knew that he'd stopped doing games on the road. And then in the last year or two, they would have a homestand, and he might only do the first game of the homestand. He was having to pick and choose. So yesterday the press release comes out that Bob had passed early in the morning yesterday, and the family was forthcoming to say he'd been dealing with small cell lung cancer for the last 2 years. And then they put us on a teleconference, a Zoom call last night, and we're talking to the owner, Mark Antanasio, and Mark said, "Yeah, you know, I tell you, it's okay to slow down." He said, "But, you know, you could be pretty stubborn sometimes. You'd call Bud Selig and see if you could convince him to talk him." And he said, "There were days last year where Bob Uecker would go in for treatments, for radiation, then get in the car, come to the ballpark, and do a 9-inning game."
Yeah.
And I would sit in the press. See, when he started really cutting back in the schedule, when I saw him having to use like a cart to come in from the car to the elevator, sort of like a person that needs a cart at the airport to get to the gate, I thought, you know, this might be it. And I was only thinking it was because he was a 90-year-old man. And you could listen to the broadcast there's a channel you can listen when you're at the ballpark, 88.5 FM. Right. And it's just programmed, no commercials or anything like that. And during the breaks, you know, you could hear that he was kind of laboring in his breathing. You couldn't hear it on the air, but in this open channel, you could. And I would sit in the press box and listen to it and say, oh, well, you know, he's an old guy. I didn't realize the man was battling lung cancer.
Yeah, but the quality of his broadcast stayed pretty good. Al Michaels.
He was as good as ever.
Yeah.
He was as good as ever calling play-by-play.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, with your eyesight and stuff, when you get to be older, you miss a fly ball or whatever. But Al Michaels is still pretty good. He's in his 80s. Yeah, you're right. His ability to still sound really good on the air this past season, I thought to myself, he's going to live to be 100 is what I was thinking.
that's exactly what I thought, too, Joel. That's what I thought, too. And, you know, what's so interesting is that not only to become a great play-by-play guy, I mean, he had that career. I was joking with somebody yesterday. I said, you know, the guy talked about his six-year baseball career for 60 years and made money on it. But you know, he'd been a scout. Not a very good scout. And Buddy Selig thought, this guy is such a personality, let's put him in the booth. And so that's just how he did it. It was next to Merle Harmon and Tom Collins, a guy that I'd worked with in radio in Milwaukee at the end of his career. And, you know, 53, 54 years calling games. But then he'd also done banquets and colleges and as a speaking engagement and kind of working up that act. And Al Hurt, who had the hit Cotton Candy, the trumpet player from the 60s.
Yeah.
Al was at this one banquet and went to Bob after. He says, you're funny, man. He says, listen, I'm going to get you on the Tonight Show. I'm going to call Carson's people. And Bob's like, yeah, sure, right. 2 weeks later, the Tonight Show calls, and he did his first hit on Johnny Carson, and that's how that thing started. So, you know, he does that over 100 times. Then he gets Mr. Belvedere. Then he gets Major League, where they filmed that in the summer of 89 at County Stadium, where he played Harry Dole, the crazy play-by-play guy. Mm-hmm. And that's just what made his career so incredible, along with the Miller Lite commercials.
Great taste, less filling, must be in the front row, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the unique opportunity, kind of like Jim Cott, kind of like Burt Blyleven of the Twins, where he got to continue that camaraderie of players in the dugout. He got to continue that through his broadcast career, which is a very rare thing. Most players have that separation. They're gone. You know, they don't get to come back to the stadium except for a reunion. He got to kind of be still a player while he was a broadcaster because he kind of had free reign of the locker room, didn't he?
Exactly, Joel. And that's where last night the Brewers got us on a Zoom call with Ryan Braun, with Christian Yelich, with the pitcher Brandon Woodruff. And so all the other, you know, the beat guys were asking their questions, and I jumped in there and I said, let me tell you guys, Bob Uecker understood that a clubhouse is full of characters, just like the film Major League, you know, and that he pulled his stories from all those years. Like, you know, but he would tell stories where, you know, sometimes he'd say, you know, one time we were out to dinner at a steak place playing a White Sox, and, you know, future Hall of Fame pitcher was with us, and he wouldn't give it the guy's name. He said, but, you know, we're going around ordering our steaks and stuff, and the gets to him, and he says to the server, you know, I'll have the Philip Morgan. And the server goes, I'm sorry, what? And they looked at, he points in the menu, oh, that would be the filet mignon, sir. <You know? laughs> And he would tell those stories like that. So I said to these guys, you know, there must have been a trust there that you could speak privately with Bob and it wasn't going to end up on the air, right? And Yelich said, it was like the team psychologist. He says he was like a safe haven. You could talk to him. And Woodruff and Christian Yelich said, yeah, Bob was just another player. He talked the way players did. He talked to us like players. And, you know, like Yelich said, that was what was so wonderful about it, is that, you know, you would come in and they would introduce you to Bob Uecker, or he would introduce you, and you knew who he was from the movies and stuff like that. But he said, well, that was so great. It didn't take long before Bob would just be Bob. And so when you saw him walk around the clubhouse, he was just another player.
Yeah.
And he was in that clique, and there was a trust there. You know, hey, you can unload, and this will never get on the air. This is private between you.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the Brewer Radio broadcast. We'll probably bring in a former player to come in and probably try to fill that void that you provided for many, many years, because the radio side kind of needs that. It's kind of nice to have that link to the clubhouse with a player.
That would be a smart move. That would be a really smart move on their part. But, yeah. I mean, just as a humorist, just as a funny guy, that guy was just, I mean, he didn't have any writers. That's how funny he was. That's why guys like Norm MacDonald said, this is one of the funniest guys around. He's just unbelievably funny.
Yeah, just one of those guys. I remember when I saw him in the media room years ago at a Brewer game, he was just one of those funny guys, the quick lines. It wasn't scripted. Just the quick lines. He would just snap them off at you.
You know who's the woman, bless her heart, Florence, who's, you know, the cook behind the counter there in the media press box?
Yeah.
He'd come out and talk to her and said, when are you going to marry me, man? I'm serious, you know? I gave you the ring, you know, and she's, oh, Mr. Euchre, you know, Mr. Bob, you know, you're so funny, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he would propose to her in front of everybody in the media room and then crack us up. Then he'd go back into his booth, close the door, and, you know, go back to his job.
Do his thing. He will be dearly missed. We'll talk Packers and other stuff next week. Mr. Clemens, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. Thank you, pal.
Take care. Mr. Mike Clemens, he's right there. He could tell more stories, and maybe someday we'll get a longer stint with him. His time is always limited with us, but he is our Civic Media 98Q sports reporter, and he's right there covering all the teams. He'll be focusing on the Bucks now a little bit and the Badgers. Also, we'll touch on some of that stuff coming up next week. We visit with him live each Friday morning at about 8:15.